I was going to say turn to the book of Deborah tonight, but that's not in the Bible, is it? But a lot of you know where it is, and that's where we are, Judges chapter number 4. Like the fellow says, we'll look at the verse in Hezekiah.
That's not in the Bible either.
However, Malachi 3:10 is in the Bible here. And so it's Judges in chapter 4. Deborah, the woman of God. First, we notice the background, the situation, the facts. And then secondly, we notice the battle. And then third, the results of the battle here. Now, actually, Judges chapter 4 is where we'll be most of the time. But that's where we'll be. You can keep a finger there. But we'll start off with the last verse. You know, sometimes you read the book and start and find out what the end is before you go to the beginning. So we'll look at the last verse, and it's such a joy to be back with you, and we appreciate being here again, and of course Pastor Anderson giving up his pulpit here, actually not once but twice. We don't count it lightly. It's a real privilege and a real honor to be here, and also he booked me in a number of other churches in the area while we're here. For this time, and we appreciate his work so much here. Let's look here, Judges, the last verse 25. In those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Now, it does not say they did what was right in the Lord's eyes. They did what was right in their own eyes, and that's bad and not good. And it's sort of sad in the history of Israel at this time. They had no king, but they had different judges. And what would happen? They would be up top spiritually, sometimes for 30, 40 years or so, and then they'd start to drift away from the Lord. And they'd not pray like they should. And they'd not honor the Lord, and they'd break His commandments. And they'd be down for maybe 40 years or so. God would allow a wicked nation to come in and conquer them. We think of the 4th of July and the independence of America, and they would lose their freedom and lose their independence. What a sad, sad thing it was. And then they would, after maybe 40 years on the bottom, they would pray and they would seek God's face and they'd confess their sins, and then they'd be up for maybe 30 years or so. And God would raise up a judge to lead them. And then they'd do good for a while, and then they'd forsake the Lord. And they'd fall into sin, and they'd be down. And a wicked nation would conquer them. And they'd go along 30, 40 years or so, and then it would happen again, and it would happen again. And God would raise up these judges, and they'd do right for a while. But then they'd forget, and they'd go back. And like the children of Israel, they'd want the leeks and the garlics and the onions of Egypt, and they forgot that when they had those, they lost their freedom and lost their independence because Egypt made them slaves there. And so it's sort of sad here, important as we think of the 4th of July. Nathan Hale said, "I regret that I have but one life to give for my country," as the British hung him there in the Revolutionary War time. John Paul Jones said, "I have not yet begun to fight." General Douglas MacArthur said, "There is no substitute for victory." And that's true in a spiritual sense as well as a nation. And so very, very, very true indeed. And Patrick Henry said, "Give me liberty or give me death." And Carl McIntyre said, just died not long ago, Presbyterian preacher, a fundamental Bible Presbyterian preacher, said, "He who will not use his freedom to defend his freedom does not deserve his freedom." And they're all great patriotic quotes on the 4th of July. So this is really patriotism for Israel here. We look first of all at the facts, and then the battle, and then the result of the battle. So let's look at the facts. Judges chapter 4 and verse 1. "The children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord when Ehud was dead." That's bad. That's bad. So they're falling down and falling into sin. God leads and permits a wicked nation to conquer them, and they lose their freedom. Verse 2, and the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, that reigned in Hazor, the captain of whose host was Sisera, which dwelt in Harasaph of the Gentiles. But it's their fault, because of their sin, they've lost their freedom. I trust in America we can keep our freedom, but it looks like the country's going sour every year a little bit more. And it's sort of sad. A rising tide of sin, a rising tide of divorce. And I just read that one out of every 75 men in America in jail at one time or another. Sad, sad. And I'm in the jail. I mean, I deal with those fellas. And, well, women too. Meth and all terrible drugs and so forth and so on, as I'm a chaplain in the jail system here. Well, they lost their freedom. Now, as they're down for a number of years, they cry unto the Lord. By the way, it's a seesaw thing in the book of Judges. Every man did that which was right in the sight of his own eyes. Now, it should not be that way. You ought to be making progress in the Christian life. And you ought to be moving ahead. And the sins that bothered you 4 years ago, providing you were saved 4 years ago, they should not bother you anymore. You'd be getting victory and be getting closer to the Lord. And yes, the Bible says if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so we ought to be moving ahead here. But notice here, they're going to move ahead now. They cried unto the Lord, Lord, help us! And notice here, the enemy had 900 chariots iron, verse number 3. And 20 years he mightily oppressed the children of Israel. So God's going to give them a second chance. And that's good, that God is going to give them a second chance. And they're going to find, they're going to receive their liberty and their freedom and their independence again. Now, as we go through this, there's tremendous lessons for all of us that are here tonight. And lessons in the Christian life. If you're saved, born again, converted, Jesus said you must be born again. It takes two birthdays to get to heaven. One will not do. The first time I was born was 1929. Second time I was born was 1947. I was 18 years old. And God saved my soul. And so we find here tremendous lessons. Now, God raises up these judges. And here's a judge by the name of Deborah. In verse 4, Deborah the prophetess, the wife of Lebedev, she judged Israel at that time. Now, my wife and I, we have two daughters. We named one Ruth after the roof of the Bible and the other one Deborah. It so happened they both married independent Baptist preachers and their preachers' wives. Interesting enough here, great women of the Bible. Deborah, D-E-B-O-R-A-H. Not Debbie, but Deborah. All right, Deborah. She's the prophetess. She's the judge. She's the wife of Lebedev. In verse number 4, and she judged Israel at that time. Now, you'll notice some things in the Old Testament that are different from the New Testament, and we don't compare her with a preacher. She's a judge, not a preacher. And the Bible does say in Titus 1 and 6 that the minister is to be the husband of one wife. So that lets women preachers out of the show, doesn't it? And so we find here also in 1 Corinthians 10 and 11, it says, all these things happened unto them for examples. So we learn from the Old Testament. These things happened to show us the way to go and also the way not to go. We should not make the same mistakes, the same sin, and the same errors that they made. Well, we notice here, women have quite a place in the Bible. There's a book of Ruth, and there's a book of Esther. The Bible says Ruth in 2 and 7 is fair and beautiful. You know, you don't have to be ugly to have God use you. She was fair and beautiful. And we find Esther in chapter 4 and verse 14. She'd come into the kingdom for such a time as this. And she saved the Jews from being wiped out by the forces of Satan. And so this is the great woman of the Bible, Deborah. Now, we find here that they're going to have a battle to get their liberty and to get their freedom and to get their independence. Now, all this is part of the background, but we get into the battle, which is the second part of our message as we preach tonight here. Notice what it says here in verse 7 of chapter number 4. And I will draw unto thee to the river Kishon, Sisera, the captain of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitude, and I will deliver him into thy hand. So you've got to fight, but God says, I will fight for you, and you can have the victory. Thanks be unto God who giveth us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so this is a physical victory, a battlefield victory, but also there are many spiritual victories that are to be gained. You have spiritual victory when you read the Bible every day. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And we have spiritual victory when we give to the Lord of our tithes and our offerings. We find Malachi 23:23 said, Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites! Ye pay the tithe of mint, anise, and cunnum, and yet ye've omitted the weightier matters of the law. And so we find there are many spiritual victories. You have spiritual victory when you go to church. The Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. And so when the doors open, why you come, and you have spiritual victory in that way. Well, they're going to have physical victory, but they're going to have spiritual victory also. And so we find here in verse 6, she sent and called Barak. Okay, he's the man here. All right? And they're going into battle to get their liberty, their independence, and their freedom again. And God's going to help them and fight for them. Now, to me, the Bible has a lot of interesting things in it, a lot of funny things in it. Seems to me it's funny. It might not strike you that way. But this fellow Barak is pretty much of a sissified fella. Deborah's the woman leader here. But notice here in verse 8, it says, And Barak said unto her, that's the woman Deborah, If thou wilt go with me, then I will go. But if thou wilt not go with me, then I will not go. Woman, you go to battle with me and I'll go. But woman, you don't go and I won't go either. Now, he's not very much of a he-man, is he? He's pretty sissified here at this time. However, he does improve here. And she tells him off, and rightly so, in verse number 9. She said, I will surely go with thee, notwithstanding the journey that thou takest shall not be for thine honor, for the Lord shall sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. And Deborah rose and went with Barak to Kadesh. And so, okay, when the victory's won and the battle's done, man, you won't be able to brag about it because the Lord will deliver the enemy into the hand of a woman. And the Lord will fight for us and we will get our liberty, our freedom, and our independence. Okay, now, notice here in verse number 10, he shapes up a little better here, but it takes a while to do it. And Barak called Zebulun and Naphtali to Kadesh. And he went up with 10,000 men at his feet, and Deborah went up with him. All right? And then we come down to verse number 14. To me, this is exceedingly interesting and sort of humorous. I don't know that you make a loud laugh out of it, but it's sort of interesting. Barak said, or rather, 14, 4 and 14 of the book of Judges. Deborah said unto Barak, Up! Man, move! Let's go! Man, move! Up! For this is the day which the Lord have delivered Sisera into thine hand. Is not the Lord gone out before thee? So Barak went down from Mount Tabor with 10,000 men after him. I remember being in the Holy Land 3 times and having a part in leading tours there. And I remember Mount Tabor. It just comes up there all of a sudden, from the plains. A very, very beautiful mountain here. So Deborah said unto Barak, Up! Move, man! Move! And he does. He does. He gets the point. Here he gets the point. And it is rather interesting here that he does. Now, the enemy has 900 chariots iron. It's almost an impossible battle. It's almost like today the enemy had 900 tanks. And all they had were their rifles, you say. I mean, there's no way they could win unless the Lord helped them to win this battle. And so, notice what happens here in verse 15. The Lord discomforted Sisera, that's the enemy, and all his chariots and all his hosts with the edge of the sword before Barak, so that Sisera lighted down off his chariot, fled away on his feet. But Barak pursued after the chariots, verse 16, and after the host on to Harosheth of the Gentiles, and all the host of Sisera fell upon the edge of the sword. There was not a man left. So they wiped out the army with the help of the Lord. They wiped out the enemy's army, and they didn't have a man left. The only fellow got away was the leader here, Sisera. He'd be like the enemy general. The Bible calls him like a captain here. He leads the people, but he's the only one that gets away. Now, when you are with the Lord, saved and converted, and you love the Lord, and you seek to honor Him, and you seek to do His will, he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Years ago, I visited the grave of D.L. Moody, the evangelist in Massachusetts. They had an annual meeting up there, and it was a real privilege and a real joy to visit that place. And of course, on his grave there in Northfield, Massachusetts, is his favorite verse, "He that doeth the will of God abideth forever." And so we want to do the will of God. Yes, not only be saved, but seek God's face and do what He would have us to do. And honor Him from the Word of God, seeking to obey the Scriptures. The Bible says to obey is better than sacrifice. And so, well, let's look at a Scripture here. This is an interesting one in the book of Deuteronomy. So we look here in Deuteronomy. It's toward the last one. Deuteronomy and chapter number 32. Deuteronomy 32 and 30. Now, this is their victory, and this is the victory in the Christian life also. Deuteronomy 32 and 30. "How should one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight, except their rocket sold them and the Lord had shut them up?" So with the Lord, very simple, see, with the Lord, one can beat 1,000 of the devil's crowd. Well, you just use math, and then two could beat 2,000 of the devil's crowd, right? No, wrong. That's not what the Bible says. "How should one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight? Two, with the help of the Lord, can beat 10,000 of the devil's crowd." Oh, you've got to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Bible says we're not to be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but filled with the Holy Spirit. In other words, controlled by the Holy Spirit, say. And so we find here, yes, that's the way of victory. And that's the way they got victory in the battle. Now, remember, the enemy is defeated, but the leader gets away. In verse 17 of Judges chapter 4, let's read it together here, Judges 4:17. "How be it, Sisera fled away on his feet to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite. For there was peace between Jabin, the king of Hazor, and the house of Heber the Kenite." Okay, there, he fled away into what he thought was neutral territory, see. And he got away. And notice here, another woman in verse 18, Jael went out to meet Sisera. Now remember, Sisera is the leader of the enemy. He's the only one that's gotten away. "Turn in, my Lord, turn in to me. Fear not." The Lord here is the leader here, you see. "And when he had turned in into her, into the tent, she covered him with a mantle." Now, you can imagine him running away. He's all out of puff and so forth. And he meets this other woman and, yes, go in. And, you know, pretty sleepy, pretty tired, and so forth. And notice what happens here. Very interesting. "He said unto her, give me, I pray thee, a little water to drink, for I am thirsty. So she opened a bottle of milk and gave him drink and covered him." Now, he's all out of puff and all tired, running away for his life. And he gets some milk to drink. Hey, you know what that's going to do to him, don't you? Ooh, ooh, yeah, put him to sleep, huh? Put him to sleep. And that's exactly what happens, you see. And boy, this woman's a smart woman. And notice here, and then in verse 20, just before he nods off here. "Again he said unto her, stand in the door of the tent, and it shall be, if any man doth come and inquire of thee, and say, is there any man here? Thou shalt say no." So if the enemy comes looking for me, I'm not here, see. Just say no. No man around here, see. But she's not going to lie for him. The Bible says, thou shalt not bear false witness. We have so much lying today in so many areas in America. Sad, sad, sad indeed. And she's not going to lie for him, and she's not going to break the commandment, thou shalt not bear false witness. By the way, you break that one commandment, it shows you're on the road to hell and hellfire, because you have broken a commandment of God. That's why you need to get saved. The law does not save from sin, but the law points up what sin is. The law points up God's standard, and you break the commandments of God. Who is there to say, well, the Bible says the commandment, thou shalt not covet. That's when you don't steal it, you just want it. Who's there to say I've not broken that commandment? Well, certainly not me. Matter of fact, it's rather interesting. And people say, well, I'm keeping the law to get to heaven. But you don't get there by keeping the law. Moses got the law from God, and Moses murdered a man. Old Testament people didn't get to heaven by keeping the law. David did not keep the law. He committed sex sin. He committed adultery. So nobody gets to heaven by keeping the law. Old Testament or New Testament, only by Jesus. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Okay. So in verse 21, Jael, Heber's wife, took the nail of a tent and took a hammer in her hand, and went softly unto him, and smote the nail in his temples, and fastened it to the ground, for he was fast asleep and weary, and so he died. Now, Pastor Anderson, if some woman did that to you, you'd die too.
Right.
Right, right. I would too. I would too. Don would too. And so, that was the end of him, you see. I tell you, this was woman's day in the Bible, wasn't it? Deborah and Jael here, boy, they finished off the enemy real quick here. And notice here, Barak's pursuing. Hey, he's got some courage now, huh? He's not gutless, huh? He's coming around pretty good. He didn't start out very good. Verse 22, behold, as Barak pursued Sisera, Jael came out to meet him and said unto him, come, and I will show thee the man whom thou seekest. And when he came into her tent, behold, Sisera lay dead, and the nail was in his temples. So God subdued on that day Jabin, king of Canaan, before the children of Israel. And the hand of the children of Israel prospered and prevailed against Jabin, king of Canaan, until they destroyed Jabin, king of Canaan. So they got them all. They got them all. Hey, where's President Bush when the battle's on, huh? Why, he's in Washington, D.C., directing the battle, right? He's the commander-in-chief. But notice here, they even got the commander-in-chief. They even got the king. I mean, they got his enemy, captain-like, almost like acting like a general, there, Sisera, and now they got them all. So God gave them their freedom back. And we find that they confessed and forsook their sin, and God blessed them in a real way. Now, what you have in the next chapter is the results of victory. You have the facts first, and then you have the battle, and we've been pretty well through that. And then the results of victory. And what did they do? They sang a song. When Johnny comes marching home again, hurrah, hurrah, World War number one. I remember World War number two. They had a song, Praise the Lord and Pass the Ammunition. They had another song, The Ballad of Roger Young. He was in the Pacific and he was killed, but he took out many of the enemy before he was killed, you see. And we have the Battle Hymn of the Republic and so forth. But can you remember any song from the Vietnam War? I can't. And we didn't win that one either. We lost 58,000 dead American soldiers. Sad, sad. And now the communists have the whole thing. Can you remember any song from the Korean War? I can't. I can't. And we didn't win that one either, you say. I mean, it was sort of a draw in the end, but we sure didn't win. And yes, they sang a song of victory. And everybody that did something good in this song is patted on the back, commended. But everybody that goofed off and did not help in the battle, they are spoken of and sung of in a bad way. So chapter number 5 is the song they sing. In verse 1, then sang Deborah and Barak, the son of Abilene, on that day, saying, Praise ye the Lord for the avenging of Israel, when the people willingly offered themselves. They willingly offered themselves. I heard about visitation here. The Bible says, knock on doors daily in the temple and in every house. They cease not to preach and teach Jesus Christ. So the people willingly offered themselves. And of course, they sang this song here. Notice verse 7 here of chapter number 5. Well, let's read it together. Here we go. 5 and 7, everybody. The inhabitants of the villages ceased. They ceased in Israel until that I, Deborah, arose, that I arose a mother in Israel. Now, what's that mean? I arose a mother in Israel. It means they didn't really have justice until Deborah arose, you see. And God used her as a judge here. And then notice here in verse 9, my heart is toward the governors of Israel that offered themselves willingly among the people. Bless ye the Lord. And so they willingly went to war. And they willingly won. But now we have some bad news, verse 15. And it says here in chapter 5 of the book of Judges, and the princes of Issachar were with Deborah, even Issachar, and also Barak. He was sent on foot into the valley. For the divisions of Reuben, there were great thoughts of heart. Why was Reuben divided? You would think that they would be united. They were fighting for their liberty, their freedom, their independence. But no. And so we find here that the ones that drug their feet, the ones that goofed off, are mentioned in this song in a bad, bad way. And so then we look here in verse number 16. Why abidest thou among the sheepfolds? Were they more interested in sheep and the wool on the back of the sheep and making money than liberty and freedom and independence? To hear the bleatings of the flock, for the visions of Reuben, there were great searchings of heart. And then notice what we have here. Verse 18, Zebulun and Naphtali were people that jeopardized their lives unto the death in the high places of the field. They weren't dragging their feet. They were on the front line, you see. Verse 17, Gilead abode beyond Jordan. And why did Dan remain in ships? Yes, why did Dan remain in ships? These Israelites, more interested in commerce and trade than liberty and freedom and independence. See, the ones that goof off get knocked and knocked hard in this song, and rightly so. Yes, Asher continued on the seashore and abode in the breaches. And then we find the victory in verse 20. They thought from heaven the stars in their courses fought against Sisera. That's the enemy leader. And so God helped them win the victory at this time. And notice here in verse 21, the river Kishon swept them away. Oh, that ancient river, the river Kishon. And then verse 23, bad goof-offs. Curse ye, Mernez, saith the angel of the Lord. Curse ye bitterly the inhabitants thereof, because they came not to the help of the Lord, to the help of the Lord against the mighty. So there were some that were not doing what they should do. They are not. And they are condemned, and rightfully so. But the ones that are doing what they should do, they are endorsed, and they are patted on the back, and they are sung about in this victory song, and great honor is given to them. Now, we have the lessons here for all of us, and that's so important. What do? You don't goof off. If you're saved, you seek to honor the Lord. We mentioned there about giving and giving on to the Lord. So you give of your tithes and you give of your offerings. And way back here in the book of 1 Corinthians and chapter number last, which is 16, it says in verse 2, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And so you don't goof off if you're a Christian. You give of your tithes and an offering. Malachi 3:10 talks about tithes and offerings. Matthew 23:23 says, woe unto you scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. Ye pay the tithe of mint, anise, and cunnum, and yet ye've omitted the weightier matters of the law. So giving does not get us to heaven, but we give because we love the Lord. We give because we want to be obedient. And so we give of a tithe and an offering. And notice it says here in 1 Corinthians 16, now concerning the collection for the saints, see, upon the first day of the week. So they were worshiping on the right day in the church at Corinth, which was Sunday, the first day of the week, and they were giving in the collection. And they were to give as God had prospered him. See, some are prospered more than others. We should all give a tenth of what we have because we love the Lord Jesus. Not to get saved, not to keep saved, because we love him, we give a tenth. And we should all give, in addition to a tenth, an offering. Now, it doesn't say how much the offering is. It might be that you give a total of 11%. Might be that you give a total of 22%. Some are prospered more than others. And here in Southern California years ago, I heard a man speak. He was not a preacher. He was a layman. His name was R.G. Letourneau. And he was a multi-millionaire. And he gave 90% of what he made to the Lord and the Lord's work and kept 10% for himself. And people say, well, he could do that. He was a multi-millionaire. And that's true, he was. But I like to believe God could trust him more than he could trust me. And he gave 90% and kept 10%. But we give as the Lord has prospered us. And so we want to get to heaven and hear the Lord say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Hey, you came to church when the door was open. Hey, you taught a Sunday school class. Hey, you gave of a tithe and an offering. Hey, you knocked on doors to tell people about Jesus. Yes, how important it is. He that winneth souls is wise. And so everybody that does something good is mentioned here. Notice here J.L. in verse 24 of Judges and chapter 5. Blessed above women shall J.L. the wife of Heber the Kenite be. Blessed shall she be above women in the tent. And we notice here in verse 26, she put her hand to the nail and her right hand to the work of the workman's hammer, Judges 5 and 26. And with the hammer she smote Sisera, she smote off his head when she had pierced and stricken through his temples. Yes, these people are commended. Notice in verse 28, remember this is a song, they're singing this. And we have in 28, the mother of Sisera, that's the enemy leader, looked out a window and cried through the lattice, why is his chariot so long in coming? Why tarry the wheels of his chariot? Well, the answer is obvious. He's dead. He's killed. That woman ran a nail through his head, and that finished him off, you see. And then we read in verse 31, so let all thine enemies perish, O Lord, but let them that love him be as the sun when he gathereth forth his might, and the land had rest 40 years. 40 years they were up. 40 years they were led by Deborah. 40 years they had their liberty. 40 years they had their independence. I wish we could end here, but we need to end here with chapter 6 and verse 1. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. So they lost their independence. Oh, we need to watch out and not be at ease in Zion. And when we're up, stay up. Because there's a great tendency to slip back down and to get out of fellowship with the Lord and to backslide and to quit tithing and quit coming to church and quit honoring the Lord. Now we realize you don't get to heaven by tithing. You don't get to heaven by coming to church. But there's a lot of things you do as obedience to the Lord after you're saved. And they help you in the Christian life. And you grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. And you're built up in the most holy faith. Yes, we find that there's so much in here for us. And there's a great tendency to slip back down after you're up. And that's not good, but there's a tendency there. The devil comes like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And so you need to stay up. Stay in the book. Read it every day. Memorize the Word of God. If ye abide in me and my Word abide in you, you can ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. Why did they win the victory? Because Deborah led them. And Barak led them too. By the way, in the book of Hebrews, his name is mentioned, Barak. I tell you, he got straightened out, you know. He's mentioned in the Hall of Faith in the book of Hebrews in the 11th chapter. Barak. He didn't start out too good, but he finished good. And that's good. And that's what we want to do, is finish well. Thank you, Pastor.